Thank you. Continuing from our discussion this morning, we selected this song because it has many elements, but the primary element is Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the form of a song expressing the mood of Shikshastakam, the third verse of Shikshastakam by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the heading or the topic for this session is Secret to Accessing the Mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We're going to leave that down in a bit. We can leave it on for now, but in a bit. Actually, I want to go through the words. That's good. So, accessing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He's the most merciful, or Prabhupada use the translation munificent. Like, superlatively used, merciful as munificent. And what was it that Lord Chaitanya came to give? He came to give love of God in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Freely, that which had never been offered before, he was distributing it freely. Please take. Most beneficent. That's what he came to give. And the way to receive that gift is through the chanting of the holy name in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because others may also chant the holy name some other way. Mayavadis chant the holy name. Materialists chant the holy name. You can train a parrot to chant the holy name. On the veranda of the Mayapur temple some years ago, there was a parrot in a cage. And the devotees had trained the parrot to say, "Hariwal, Hariwal." So there was always a crowd of people around the cage of the bird. And the bird, they would say, and the bird would repeat, "Hariwal." And then somebody got the bright idea to train the bird to chant, "Rage, Rage, Rage." That's a different kind of chanting. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wrote that chanting the holy name is not just the mechanics of making the sound. He said you can train a bird to make the sound. Or you can make a machine that makes the sound. Similarly, mechanically we can make the sound. And that's Bhaktisiddhanta's language. Is that's not chanting. There's another that is chanting. And that is, it's perfectly appropriate for this topic today. When Lord Nityananda, who is the dearmost representative of Lord Chaitanya, is called to by his devotees saying, "Oh, my dear Lord Nityananda, the bestower of the pure holy name, please bestow upon me the pure holy name." Hearing that appeal, Lord Nityananda may bestow the pure holy name, and when the pure holy name touches the heart, pause. Then, the very same lips and the very same tongue calling out the holy name, that is chanting of the holy name. So there's some important elements. The appeal, the intention, sankalpa, to receive the pure holy name. That means without offense, by the way. Strong desire to receive the pure holy name. Second, approaching the right person. The Sarala Ta and Shakti possessing person, Lord Nityananda, being most merciful, he bestows the holy name. Then it touches the soul. And then the body makes a sound. It's the call of the soul for the mercy. First came the appeal. Before the appeal came was the good sense to make the appeal. Humility. We'll go through these points. Humility, appeal for mercy, surrender. Then the chanting begins. The real chanting of the holy name. So Lord Chaitanya in his Shikshastakam, those of you that are familiar, keeping it simple, the first two verses are, well, the first verse is seven glories, seven wonders of the holy name. And you know what they are. Cheto, Darpana, Marjanam, etc. Seven different glories of the holy name, wonders of the holy name. And then after reciting those wonders of the holy name, he goes on describing further, just incredible, merciful manifestations of the holy name. There's unlimited names, and each one of the names says all of the transcendental potencies of the personality of Godhead. And there's no hard and fast rules like there are for other processes. Like this nice lady from a Jewish background, or someone that does Karmakanda rituals, or somebody that's from a Muslim tradition, or whatever, whatever, whatever. There's so many rules. Needless to say, there are rules. But for the chanting of the holy name, there's no rules. In any time, any place, any circumstance, unfit, fit, doesn't matter, chant the holy name, knowing all these things. Dur Daivam Idrishya Mahajani Nadarada. No attraction. This is Lord Chaitanya's statement or his teaching. We may know these things, we may have all kinds of nice knowledge, and still there's no attraction. Then comes our topic for this morning. How to access the holy name. You need mercy. And what qualification must we have for mercy? One is you have to want mercy. That's the starting point. And then there's these four things that are embedded within this song. And in the second line, you can just leave it there for a moment. Trin. What does trin mean? Strong. Just like trinadipi sanesena. So he's, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching how to call for these qualifications. Like, not just go to Kmart or Walmart and buy some. But it requires another approach. Something that's an internal appeal. Generally, the first line, kripa. Bindu, even a drop of kripa. There's sindhu and there's bindu. Even a bindu. Even a drop. There's an ocean of mercy. But even a drop of that ocean, one can drown it. One can drown all of one's material existence in a drop. Diya, drop of mercy. Kripa bindu diya, please give me a drop of your mercy. And make me a servant. This servant of yours, what? Trinapeka atihina. He's appealing for humility. And we can examine each of the lines of this song are expanding or expositions on Shikshastakam verse number 3. Nijamane Spriha Hina. Please make me free my mind, free from desire for honor. Amalina, Manadina. They go very well together. Not desiring any honor from oneself, and being ready to honor all others. It's one thing to honor all others, but we have an expectation. We're expecting to be honored. They're like the old mother-in-law story. I try to do my mother-in-law everything, and she never is pleased with me. Ladies are smiling, they know all about it. So, why? So, let's go to the next. And as Famous Bernie mentioned, this, we're going to spend some extra time on this. Sakale Samana. Sakale Samana. Kodite Shakati. Please give me the Shakati, the power. Besides, you know, knowing what to do, the power to do what we know we should do. In terms of honoring all living beings properly, according to their position. We don't honor everybody in the same way, we honor people appropriately. It's one thing to know, a cultured person knows how to, and a devotional person doesn't. and there's no exception. When it's coming from the heart, or coming from the soul proper, then one honors everybody in all circumstances without exception. There's no exception. There's no expectation in return, and there's simply offering of the proper respect. Sakala, sakale, samana. Offense, aparada habe hata. Free from offenses. Then one can Harinama Sukhe, chant the holy name in ecstasy constantly. It's exactly the teaching of Shikshastakam 3. And the other verses indicate similarly. The beginning, this statement of humility, and the end, there's the statement of humility. Those of you that are familiar with the other songs, the Sharanagati songs, something like 56 songs, so many for humility, and so many for Atmanivedana, and so many for this one, that one. A whole series of songs just to teach us, in Bengali, teaching people that may not be able to read, but they can sing. Boy, can Bengali sing. And through the medium of song, he was teaching them the process of surrender. How to access, this is our topic, how to access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, which is the mercy of the holy name, how to chant the holy name where there's taste, or there's attraction, or there's genuine shelter. That's our program today. Permanently enhancing our relationship with the holy name by developing these very qualities. So we go to the. This is our entry point. No, go to the PowerPoint I gave you. Okay. So I shared with you that I was. Show the image that I spoke about, the two images that I spoke about this morning. There's Vibhishan with his knees bent up in the air over there on the left, and behind him are his four ministers, indicating just as this process of surrender indicates akinchanatvam, where there's no material shelter, And Anya Gati Tong, there's no rich Krishna in this case, Ramachandra, is his only shelter and no other shelters. And Rama being Saranatha, simple, to see the intention, deeper intention of the Vishnu or whoever wishes to approach him and accepting that surrender, accepting him because there's a desire to surrender, to submit to, strengthen his relationship with Lord Ramachandra, and Ramachandra having the capacity, just like in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur song, please give me the strength to overcome my tendency to want to be honored by others, and give me the strength to be able to properly honor others according to their position. And next, I don't have the remote devices. There's the painting that I mentioned to you this morning. There's Krishna and Balaram, who are the recipients of our prayers, and they hear our prayers, and they also hear the intent of the prayer as we offer to them. Krishna, please attract me. I'm saying these, you may find this to be helpful in your 64 round day tomorrow, or for the rest of your life. My dear Krishna, the all-attractive, please attract me to you, although I'm quite distracted. But you're all attractive. So the deficiency is not over there, the deficiency is over here. Krishna, please attract me. Let me open my heart to that relationship of being attracted to you and your service. And Balaram, kindly give me the spiritual strength needed to carry out all of those services. Give them to me. And Krishna and Srimati Radharani. So we'll spend a little bit of time, not too much, next, on sound files, not playing, but playing. Okay. That little mark in the right hand corner is, at least on my computer, because that's a Mac and mine's a PC, it plays Prabhupada singing the verse. What happened? Huh? That's pretty good. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. Here's the verse, Shikshastakam 3, with these four parts. Trinadati Suni Shena. More humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false thirsting, ready to offer all respects to others, with no expectation of respect in return. In such a state of mind, we can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Next. Lord Caitanya instructs, written in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that this verse is so important. He says, raising my hands, I declare, everyone, please hear me. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Before we go on, just a little sharing so that you don't forget. I mentioned this little exchange with Madhava during the Rath Yatra. How many here know Madhava or have any had his association? How many of you have heard his name? He's a wonderful kirtanier and a wonderful Vaishnava. He was raised in the Gurukul situation, I believe in Vrindavan. And he graduated and he's still going. Like higher and higher and higher. Very wonderful. His whole year is just kirtan. He's booked for the whole year, just one place after the next place, just doing kirtan. He used to work, now he doesn't, he just does kirtan. And I heard his name before I met him, so I didn't know who he was. The first time I met him, the three times that we had interaction, He saw me in the audience. I didn't know who he was. I don't know if he even knew who I was, just a sannyasi that he didn't know. When he finished the kirtan, he came directly before me and said, with folded palms, he introduced himself by name. And then after giving his name, the first words out of his mouth, "Please give me your blessings, that I will always remain humble and never become falsely proud. Please give me this benediction, this blessing." I mean, I didn't know him from anybody. That was the first words out of his mouth. And the mood was similar. Then the second time I met him, I saw him in Mayapur. He sought me out. He'd never met before. He sought me out. Folded palms, said the same thing. So I put two and two together. That's his mood. Not just, something cute or cosmetic. It's his mood. And the third time, same thing. It's him. It's a mood of this one. Turn on the piece of the chain. And so, guess what comes out of his mouth? It's not just a melody or sound. It's appeal because of that taking to heart the message of Lord Chaitanya, that in order to access Lord Chaitanya's mercy and get a taste for the holy name, there must be humility. There must be humility. And when it's cultivated, it isn't like all out of the sky. It's cultivated because we have other tendencies called material consciousness tendencies that are rooted in the bodily conception, and there can't be a sustained humility unless there's spiritual conception. With proper cultivation, then one can access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're going to go through the So this is a little summary where on the picture on the left is the lady who's climbing on Lord Chaitanya's shoulders as he's holding on to the Guru's Sangha. She's climbing on his shoulders so he can see Lord Jagannath. And the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in great distress. Get off. He said, "Lord Chaitanya, get off his back. What are you doing?" And then when Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness, another servant was happening. He said, no, this is wonderful. If only I had such enthusiasm to see Lord Jagannath. But she realized she had also lost it. But when she regained her composure and understood what she was doing, she was deeply repentant, standing on her Chaitanya's shoulders to see Lord Jagannath. And on the right, this is Sanatana Goswami. I'm going to mention something further about Sanatana Goswami. When he first met Lord Chaitanya, in his teeth he placed straws and clasped the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, begging Lord Chaitanya to instruct him, calling himself Fool Number One, although he was extremely learned, highly scholarly, spoke seven languages, greatly learned person. He submitted to Lord Chaitanya that, "I am such a fool, I'll prove it to you. People consider me to be a learned person, I think, yes, I'm a learned person, but the truth is, I don't even know who I am. Such a fool. So please instruct me, who am I? Kayani." Next. This is a photograph of Krishna Balaram and the Krishna Balaram deities that are found in Tarakadamba. Some of you have been to Vrindavan, and if you've been to Vrindavan, most likely you've been to Tarakadamba, a place where Rupa Goswami would sit and write many literatures, including Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and others. And just above the altar of Krishna Balaram is the following on a little sign. Next. A verse composed discourse by Raghunath Das Goswami about Rupa Goswami. Adadanas, there's the word trin again. Adadanas trinam dantaya, idam yashe punak punak, srimad rupa padamoja, raja, rajoham syam bhave bhave. Taking a blade of grass between my teeth, I repeatedly beg. At birth after birth, I may obtain the dust of Srila Rupa Goswami's lotus feet, spoken by or composed by our Prayojana Guru, the topmost stage of bhakti. Raghunath Das Goswami, the exponent of that, is exhibiting this intense and very laudable mood of humility when he considers Rupa Goswami. He was just like dust from the feet of Rupa Goswami, birth after birth, very humbly begging. This is the mood of Vaishnava, the mood of humility that Lord Chaitanya is speaking of, that one must have in order to access the holy name. Next. Lower than a downtrodden blade of grass on the left hand side of someone doing Dandavat's Parikrama, to me it looks like it's going around Radhakund. Sanatana Goswami, particularly also Raghunath Das Goswami, would regularly offer 1,000 obeisances to the Vaishnavas every day as a regulative principle that they followed. Whenever persons would come to offer obeisances, they would offer obeisances and they would go and out visiting the temples around Radhakund, paying obeisances to all the Vaishnavas they saw with genuine humility. On the right is Maharaj Pratap Rudra, exhibiting the humility of a king sweeping before Lord Jagannath. And that exhibition of the king's humility inspired Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to offer his mercy. So how to access the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? One must develop this quality of humility. Next. Then, more tolerant than a tree. It's on the right is Prahlad Maharaj being tormented by the followers of Hiranyakashipu, but being completely undisturbed because he was always in remembrance of the personality of Godhead. On the left is a painting of Raghunath Das Goswami in the heat of a roasting hot summer in Vrindavan, by the side of Radhakund, chanting with such absorption, he wasn't even noticing that his body was burning in the midday sun. But Radharani noticed, so she came and held her upper garment to shield Raghunath Das during the midday sun, so his body wouldn't burn. And in the background, there's Sanatana Goswami watching the whole scene. And after the heat of the midday sun subsided, Radharani moved and left. Because she, as Krishna, are protectors of their devotees. So if the devotee is tolerant of dualities, they're not, it doesn't mean we act foolishly, but in this case at least, with Raghunath Das Goswami so intimately united with Radha and Krishna in their service, that they're always extending their protection. Next. This is a statement by Prabhupada in that box. There may be so many impediments for a person who is chanting Hare Krishna. Nonetheless, tolerating all these impediments, one should continue to chant so that at the end of one's life, one can have full benefit of Krishna consciousness. When I was in New York, I got some dental work done. And I decided, okay, I'm going to take this as an opportunity to become Krishna conscious. There's another devotee who was sharing with me, he's like, there's fear in his heart when he goes to a dentist's office because when he was little, he had a tooth extraction, and it was got infected afterwards. It was so painful. It's just even up thinking about a dentist hearing starts to perspire and tremble. But I thought, okay, let me take this as an opportunity to just absorb my mind in the holy name and not the sound of that drill and the Novocaine and the numbness of my jaw and the whole thing. In all circumstances of life, tolerating all impediments so that one can have the benefit of full Krishna in this life and go to Krishna. Anyway, it was a nice experiment. I don't know how old he was at the time of death, but good to practice. Yes. And as Lord Nityananda was ready to tolerate the insult and injury of Jagtai and Madhai, not expecting respect from them, just requesting them to chant the holy name. This is the mood of a Vaishnava. As on the left side, Maharaj Ambarish, when the fiery demon was sent by Durvasa Muni, he remained completely, his mind and his body didn't change as the fiery demon approached him. And the painting on the right is Prabhupada in the tea stalls of Delhi, selling his Back to Godhead magazine, because people that had other things on their mind besides Back to Godhead magazine, but still nonetheless presenting the message of transcendence without expecting any kind of respect in return. Next. On the right hand side, this is Dilki Krishna meeting Jiva Goswami for the first time in Vrindavan, sent by his spiritual master, and Narad Muni giving teachings to a king. Next. Whether on the right hand side offering respects to a sadhu, or on the left hand side just an elderly poor man assisting, respecting, appropriate to the circumstance, ready to offer all respects to others. Thanks. Certainly in the culture there's respect for the cow, but the followers of Vaishnava tradition, they respect even an ant. I don't know if you've had any ants in your room yet. I got a little invasion of some ants. I was thinking of this presentation. Even mice. Prabhupada told the story that his father was a grain merchant. So one of the things that his father did in the storage area where there were grain, bags of grain, rather than, you know, doing other things, killing the mice, he put a little pan, and there the mice could get whatever grain they wanted, and they would be very happy and leave the bags alone. And somebody else I was visiting in their backyard, anyway, without all the details, you know, they would put the mahaprasad that they were offering to their deity in the middle of the winter, and at a very regulated time, right around 6:30, the squirrels would come up and jump on their porch and eat up all the almonds and this and that. And it's respecting all of the entities in an appropriate manner. One should treat even animals like deer, cows, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, and birds, exactly like one's children, Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam. Although his life was threatened with murder, Durvasa Muni, towards Ambarish, Ambarish was fully forgiving. Not only forgiving, but considering he was the one that had made the offense this evening. Sits water on the Dwadasi day before the Vasmuni. These are the qualities of the Vaishnava that give one access to the Lord's mercy. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. This is Bhakti Joseph Swami in his final period before leaving his body. I recently heard Radhakar speaking about this. We were at a program together in somebody's backyard in San Jose. No, San Diego. And he was describing the mood of humility of Bhakti Joseph Swami in his final days. It was really, he's a good storyteller, it was really nice. And he was feeling, because of that state of humility, great happiness. His body was wrecked and filled with pain, but feeling great happiness from the chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated this quality of, this is the Sakala Samana portion of the Gurudev story, or song rather. Being ready to offer all respects to others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is a demonstration of the time of Haridas Thakur's passing after personally arranging for his samadhi. Lord Chaitanya requested a big feast to be prepared for everyone. And with great enthusiasm, with his large hand, he was placing, looks like a lot of rice, on everybody's plate. And he just was going here and there. No one was eating because there was meat before he ate. But he was in such happiness serving the devotees. Don't go further because I'm going to run out of time. So, these qualities, Lord Chaitanya teaches us what the qualities are that can help us get access to his mercy, or the mercy of the holy name which he came to give us. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his followers, similarly, by appealing to one's place of shelter, in this case, O Gurudev. But one can make such appeal under the order of spiritual master and the order of scripture to cry out to Krishna directly, to please help us gain these wonderful qualities. I'm not going to go to some other references. It's essentially reinforcing the same message. Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita. Start there. Mentioned it this morning, but Daivihi Esha Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratya Maliva Yeva Padyante Mayamitam Parantite. Where our material circumstance is, we want happiness in the wrong way, in separate from Krishna way. And there is no happiness separate from Krishna. That's called Maya. But we want it, and we're very determined in our wanting happiness. We're just going in the wrong direction. And it ends up in a struggle, an endless struggle, not only in this lifetime, lifetime after lifetime. Self-perpetuating bondage, trying for happiness that doesn't exist. So, a little light has to go on at some point in time, saying, I bought the wrong program. I need to delete this software and put on some new heart software. The surrender to Krishna software. I need some mercy. And then one can take the position of surrendering. So there's a sequence. There's humility, just like in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Sharanagati song, that's where it starts, humility. In this Gurudev song, that's where it starts, is humility. Because without humility, who needs anybody's help? But when we're sincerely trying, just like, for example, sincerely try tomorrow, 64 round day, to chant without offense, novel idea. Try it. And what happens? Just like this suggestion this morning, just take one thing. Don't criticize anybody in your mind. Or out loud, either. Try it. The mind wants to go there. We're just habituated to these things. So when you try for excellence, or you should say even the standard of accessing Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you'll find I'm not there. And on my own strength, I can't. Humility. Appeal for mercy. Then genuine mercy comes in the sense of shelter, surrender. They're connected, but there's a sequence. It starts with humility. Give some, because the topic is accessing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We'll take two examples from Lord Chaitanya's Leela. There's so many. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in short, super scholar. He was Brihaspati. There wasn't a scholarly person of his equal on the whole planet. Except for Lord Chaitanya. And for that reason, although he was from Bengal, he was invited by the king of Orissa to become the chief pundit in his royal assembly. And he had thousands of sannyas disciples teaching them Sharirat Bhasya, Shankaracharya's commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Super scholar. Super. Before he could surrender, what did Lord Chaitanya do? He deflated his pride. But he did it in such a gentle way. Because proud people, it's hard to take defeat of their pride. Other than that way, he did it and exhibited his superior scholarship by explaining Vedanta Sutra and explaining the Atmaram Sloka in ways that he had never heard before. He had never contemplated. He could understand this isn't just a better explanation. You're the personality Godhead. He became humble first. And then he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. And then Lord Chaitanya disclosed his true identity. And he became a fixed Vaishnava. And through his association, his son-in-law also became saved, rescued. Because of his qualification, Lord Chaitanya rescued Amoga. Or Sanatana Goswami. The first time they met, it was Nandabhat. The second time they met, he had this straw in his teeth. And Lord Chaitanya gave him full instruction. Not only that, he gave him the empowerment to realize all of his teachings. And not only that, he gave him the empowerment to write and expand on the teachings that he had received. He was already a recipient of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So what did Lord Chaitanya do? He helps him become even more humble. How is that? The whole Leela with Sanatana Goswami contracting wet itches as he was passing through Jarikan Forest. You know the Leela? Sanatana Goswami was residing in Vrindavan and he wanted to visit Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. So he found out, because he was so scholarly, he inquired and found out what was the exact path, even through the Jarikan forest, the places where the forest-dwelling people would stay. He would go from place to place and hear from them what Lord Chaitanya said and did. Yeah? Naturally, because he was his life and soul. And as he was passing through Jarikan forest, he drank water in a place that you shouldn't have drunk water, and he contracted a disease. The result of the disease was there were sores on his body that were weeping sores. They were oozing pusty, yucky, smelly stuff. So he started to consider, this is awful, but I'm going to go to Puri. Lord Chaitanya is such an affectionate person, he's going to want to embrace me, and this yucky stuff is going to smear on his body. I'll just be an offender and smear smelly stuff on Lord Chaitanya's body. Better I give up my body. So he started contemplating giving up his body. So he had his plan. And one by one, Lord Chaitanya stopped his plan. His plan was, he would see the Rathiatra, jump in front of the cart of Rathiatra's body would be squished, and he wouldn't be an offender anymore. Lord, without saying it, he just thought it. Lord Chaitanya knew his thoughts, showed his omniscience, and told him, don't consider doing that. You've given your body to me. It's my property. You can't destroy my property. And it was so simple to go back to Godhead just by jumping in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath. We'd all do it. You can't go back to Godhead that way. So, I forbid you. He didn't even say anything. Anyway, there were steps and steps and steps. And the Leela is so wonderful. It ended up where he was checkmated. He couldn't go, he couldn't stay, he couldn't do this, he couldn't do that. He was completely dependent upon Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Lord Chaitanya went to embrace him. He stepped back swiftly. No, please don't touch me. This body is contaminated. Lord Chaitanya said, like a mother and a child, but the baby is maybe have foul substance on the baby's body, but the mother loves the child. And I love you like that. It gives me great pleasure to embrace you. And he embraced him. And when he embraced him, the wet itches went away, just like that, like a miracle cure. And Haridas Thakur was witness of the whole thing. He said, just see how much affection Lord Chaitanya has for you. He put you through this whole ordeal for one purpose. Intense dependent upon your mercy, and he gave you his mercy. In such a state of mind, one can have access to the holy name. Now let's go the other direction. There's so many wonderful leelas and Krishna leela and all the pastimes of the Lord, where this is demonstrated again and again. The affection that he has for his devotee and the absolute dependence the devotee has upon the Lord. I'll just share one of them because I've been discussing it recently. The forest fires in Vrindavan. There were two of them. And Jiva Goswami raises the question, why? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why would he subject his dear Vrijvasi cowherd boyfriends to such a calamity? And what was the cause? And Jiva Goswami says, some people say that Krishna was the cause because he's the cause of all causes. Well, if he's the cause of all causes, why would he subject his devotees to that? And the answer he supplies is Krishna was testing them. And then he replies, well, why would Krishna need to test his Vrijvasi friends? He knows what their position of surrender and complete dependence on him. And he says, no. He wasn't testing them so he would know. He was testing them so we would know. And he gives the example, just like a goldsmith. He's selling gold. And here comes a customer who says, I don't know if it's gold or not. Prove it. So the goldsmith knows the method. He puts the gold in fire. And the gold exhibits qualities of gold and fire. It's gold. No alloy. It's pure gold. Similarly, Krishna puts his devotee into some difficulty so others can see just see the quality of this devotee. Sanatana Goswami and others, Prahlad Maharaj. The commentary about Prahlad Maharaj is that when he was pushed off the cliff as one of the ways to try to kill, Lord Vishnu caught him, right? So But the commentary says it wasn't that he caught him right away. Prahlad kept falling and falling and falling and falling. Lord Vishnu was testing him. Maybe he would panic and say, wait a minute. You're supposed to save me. I'm your devotee. But he didn't. He made very peaceful. And at the last minute, he crossed. To show us, because he already knew, to show us, to see the quality of Prahlad. To see the quality, forbearance, quality, and respecting others that one must extend in order to access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, which allows us to access the holy name. Because without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, where are we? We're, along with everybody else, lost in the material world. So the converse is, if we disrespect, we don't properly regard, instead, it's the default. We don't properly regard, we'll disrespect. We'll see in material ways. Every one of us, we have our material shortcomings. Does anybody here want to volunteer? They don't have any material shortcomings. We all have our shortcomings. And you know, the person next to you or across the hall, and you know, somewhere else, wherever they may be, have their shortcomings. Now, what is it that we regard? If you're Lord Ram, you regard the quality of surrender. And if you're a devotee, you follow him. I'm going to read just two little passages. There's pages and pages, but I decided not to go through the pages and pages. To read, this first one is going to be Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commenting in his writing, Vaishnava K, what kind of Vaishnava are you, speaking about humility and the absence of that, fault finding. I'm just going to read one paragraph. But rather than showing humility and accepting the truth of the situation, this is when sadhus are offering sadhu-like advice to someone that they should improve in such and such a way and not find fault with others in such and such a way. Rather than accepting that sadhu-like advice, the mind, infatuated with the desire to achieve importance, imagines no wrong in its envious attitude towards the real devotees of the Lord, and reacts with false pride when shown that its path is mistaken. This pride, is the symptom of fall down from spiritual life. Therefore, a devotee should be very careful to train his mind in avoiding the dangerous path and learn instead to be humble and sincere. Like that box that has, you know, your grievances over there. I'm just going to now, there's so many pages, but I'll just read a few. These are from Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur is the Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. He's the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. So here from different sections, each one of these is from different chapters of Chaitanya Bhagavat, where he's speaking on the same point. Like a refrain. There's three pages and I'm just going to read a few. If Vaishnavas are offended, even by an assembly of renunciates, sannyasis, such an assembly is more irreligious than a group of drunkards. For the drunkards, there is still a chance of salvation, but for those who are critical of Vaishnavas, there's no hope for liberation. Another place. One never advances in spiritual life by finding faults in other Vaishnavas. In fact, only sinful reactions are increased. So, give up all your fault finding. Again, another place. To criticize and find faults in pure devotees of the Lord is the most grievous offense against the Holy Name. Oh, Holy Name, how can you bear the criticism against your pure devotees, through whom your glories have been propagated? Such offenders are annihilated. Another, in a different place. Those devotees who are narrow-minded and bigoted start fighting over petty matters. This is a serious deviation from the path of spiritual realization, and so a really knowledgeable devotee will refrain from taking sides in such disputes. Just two more. The spiritual master cannot even protect his own disciples against the wrath of the Lord if the disciple commits Vaishnava Parada. In fact, the guru of such a disciple is hard-pressed to protect himself from the effects of the aparad. If the guru is in a very elevated stage of devotion, then he can protect himself alone. But if he is not so elevated, then he, along with his disciple, sinks down to hell. And in another place, one can become a true Vaishnava by serving Lord Krishna and I'm not finding faults in others. Because of time, I'm only going to... there's a section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. That was Vrindavan Das Thakur. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj writing about Adivila chapter 8, where he's been requested by many Vaishnavas to write about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So what does he do? He goes and seeks blessings. Just like I was mentioning, Madhava seeking blessings from someone he didn't even know, just so that he could be freed from that fault of pride and stay always very humble, so he can access the Holy Name. We need that mercy. So Krishna Das, eminently qualified, seeking mercy from the Vaishnavas. Adilila chapter 8. In the temple of Govindaji, thousands of servitors always render service to the Lord in devotion. Even with a thousand mouths, one cannot describe this service. In that temple, chief servitor was Haridas Pandit. His qualities and fame are known all over the world. He was respectful to everyone and worked for the benefit of all. Diplomacy, envy, and jealousy were unknown to his heart. The 50 qualities of Lord Krishna were all present in his body. One who has unflinching devotional faith, this is a quote from scripture, one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifested. Anantacharya, is his grand spiritual master, was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit, Anantacharya, and his disciple was Haridas Pandit. Anantacharya, his body was always absorbed in love of Godhead. He was magnanimous and advanced in all respects. Ananta Acharya was a reservoir of all the qualities no one can estimate how great he was. Pandit Haridas was his beloved disciple. Pandit Haridas had great faith in Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Therefore, he took great satisfaction in knowing about their qualities and pastimes. He always accepted the good qualities of Vaishnavas and never found fault with them. He engaged his heart and soul only to satisfy the Vaishnavas. in the purport, Prabhupada speaks about the quality of adosha darshi, never seeing the faults of others. And he goes on, of course, every human being has both good qualities and faults. Therefore, it is said, such jana gunam ichchanti dosham ichchanti para pamara. Everyone has a combination of faults and glories. But a Vaishnava, a sober man, accepts only a man's glories and not his faults. For flies seek sores, whereas honeybees seek honey. Haridas Pandit never found fault with a Vaishnava, but considered only his good qualities. Goes on, he always heard the reading of Chaitanya Mangala, that was Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat, but didn't complete the latter pastimes, so Krishna Das Kaviraj was asked to compile those. And he was reciting it, and others would come and hear from him. Like the full moon, he illuminated the entire assembly of Vaishnavas by speaking Sri Chaitanya Mangala. Under the nectar of his qualities, he increased their transcendental bliss. By his causeless mercy, he ordered me to write about the last pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's said that because he had this quality, people wouldn't even dare, they wouldn't even consider speaking something bad. Just had this conversation with a devotee recently by phone. And he was saying, you know, I was describing to another devotee things I don't like about this other devotee, but I know you don't like to hear those things, so I don't tell you. If we have that quality, we don't take part in it, we're no fun. When it, you know, that kind of fun. Then you'll be spared from having to hear those things. And if you have to hear those things, you tell the person. Adosha Darshi. Let us see the qualities in this devotee. And by seeing the qualities, help that devotee become stronger and stronger. But this other, just as Prema Srangini was sharing, that kind of conversation when person A says to person C about person B, what's that? It's something we're recommended to not do. It's our fault to do that. While others may have their qualities and faults, we don't do that. Rather, amanina amanadena, or sakale samana, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words. It's why? Because it will then entitle us to access Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And that mercy is access to the holy name. And access to the holy name is our relationship with Krishna. Permanently enhancing our loving relationship with Krishna by cultivation of these qualities and avoiding these others. You cultivate the qualities that are pleasing. And your life, however long it takes, life long, however long it takes. Why? To access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya so that we can access our relationship with the Holy Name. So that Kirtaniya Siddhahari, we, like Rupa Goswami says, we desire millions of mouths and many, many ears to hear and chant the Holy Name. And the Holy Name then dancing in the courtyard of the heart makes the mind inert, stunned, and the senses become stunned as one is eager to hear again and again this wonderful sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. So we wherever we are, we're at the very bottom, just beginners or whatever, or maybe somewhere a little more, maybe somewhere a little more, thinking, hey, I'm a little more, or whatever our position is. Cultivation of these qualities as described, will help us get access to Lord Chaitanya's mercy, which we require to go further in our practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, past time, right? So any comments or questions? If you have something from this morning, you can feel free to ask whatever you'd like. It's on, just hold it closer to your mouth.
Preparing ourselves to aim for the intention Sankalpa. While preparing ourselves, one has to identify our Radhika which direction are we going in.
Are you asking, do we have to know what our position is in order to know how to go further? That's your question?
Yes.
In Hitanagari, during the Memorial Day weekend, the question you just asked was the whole topic for, you know, 2.5 days. So I encourage you to listen to those recordings. That's a longer answer than yes. I'll just say something. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches 2 things. We must always, on the one hand, we must always be progressive, wishing to go to the next stage of bhakti. On the other hand, we should know what our present stage is. And according to our present stage, we accept the rules and regulations that are appropriate for our present stage. Now, on the other hand, we should always be aspiring to go to the next stage. Not prematurely, not impulsively jumping, but in an appropriate manner, wishing, aspiring to go to the next stage. So now come a few questions. How do we know our present stage? Well, there's scripture, there's introspection, and there's person guiding us. Those are 3 barometers. And then according to scripture, there's things that are enjoined or recommended for us to do. You know, comment, little common sense also is always very helpful. A very elusive thing called common sense. But we should know what is appropriate for our circumstance and then aspire to go to the next level. I can say so much more, but that's a nice beginning.
Okay.
Anything else? You all very satisfied or sleepy or
doing it mechanically. Should you stop chanting and just do it you know, you are doing it mechanically, and figure out the thing that help you deepen your mood.
Okay, sure. Three things in response. One is different individuals have different ways that they try to accomplish, you know, what you just, you know, the question you raised. One of them is before. I'll give two examples of before. This young lady up in the front row here, she found a lot of inspiration in reciting the Mangalacharna prayers. So that's something, I don't know if you still do it today, but something for a period of time she was doing. To get, you know, ask why the same reason we chant the Mangalacharna prayers are we doing a yajna? It's praying to our predecessor acharyas. But again, behind that is the intention. Why? So with their mercy, we can access that which they're wishing to give, the pure holy name. There's another. One of the chakra retreats that I attended was in Ojai, California, where Jamuna and Dina Kalani, you know them? Yeah. So they attended. And at the retreat, Niranjana Maharaj had some prayers to the holy name that he said he chanted every day before he began his chanting of japa. So those two got really excited. Let's see those prayers. Can you print them out? Every day from the next day thereafter, you know how they would have their teenage girls that they were mentoring and Jaranagati Yukhism. So, you know, they would sit together and recite those prayers before their deities, before they would chant. So that's what somebody else says. Somebody else says, you know, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Someone else is something else. Jai Great Margin, he you know, pays obeisances for like 10 minutes, and I don't know what the prayers are, but he says they're prayers when he's preparing himself for japa. And he want to share with the others. Okay, so that's, you know, before. So that's a possibility. And then during, in intervals of time, not just when you know, hit a wall or a dry patch, but periodically, different people. So different, the first one is there are different techniques for different people. Second point, what's essential is not the technique, which is, this is Vishwanath Chakrabarti's town point. What's important is the effort. The propellant is the effort that one makes. And the effort that one makes should not be dependent upon the results. With faith, making the effort. In other words, sometimes there may be this, sometimes there may be that result. That's okay. With faith, we know that Krishna sees our intention, we're making sincere effort with our intention. That's what's being accepted. Whether it's through the technique, or just through the technique, it's still remains mechanical. Then we wonder what happened. I did the technique. And the third point is mood. The overall mood or one's approach to bhakti. You know, in addition to, you know, the intention. It's, you know, the mood of wishing to be in devotion. So, besides the technique and what's the purpose behind this specific technique, it's the overall mood of devotion which we're trying to nurture or cultivate. That let it become pervasive. Just like this example that I was now for the third time mentioning. The humility with Mahalo is just awesome. Or then another Kirtanir, is Bada Hari. I liken him to a Glumjum. Glumjum is very soft and juicy. Just touch the Glumjum and it squirts out a bunch of juice. So Bada Hari is like that. Just so soft and juicy. Even if you don't know him, just as soon as he starts to sing, it's like, but you know, everything changes. Life goes on, and joy starts to flow, and he's happy. Literally, his face lights up. He just loves Kirtan. So that, you know, the mood. Cultivating a mood of bhakti in all the things that we do. Everything starts from the holy name, but then it goes into everything that we do. Everything that we do, that mood of humility that goes into everything that we do, the mood of offering respect to others, appropriate for their respect, just as the Gurudev song says. And then, if, you know, that's the little pieces is part of the big picture. This thing reinforces that thing. Supposing over there it becomes weak. Supposing we have a relationship problem. That slides over there. You know, there's the big picture. We're getting strength from all the big picture of how we're approaching. From that bigger picture, we can take strength. Because we know the purpose. You know, what's the purpose? Permanently enhancing our relationship with the Holy Name, Krishna. So then I can take strength from over there to help us over here. Etc. Okay. Well, what's on the schedule is from 1 o'clock till 1:30 we'll have japa together. So if there's no questions, we'll just go from 12:30 to 1:30 and have japa together. How's that? Yeah? See the Prabhupada key died.